We're opening our Bibles again at 1 Timothy chapter 1. No doubt all of the verses that we read together are very, very important, as is all of Scripture. But we are going to focus our attention in particular upon what is recorded there in the verse 15. Where the Apostle Paul says, "This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." And if we were to put a capsule upon our message tonight, then it would have to be the greatest truth of all the ages, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The world in which you and I live, and in particular this province of ours, has always been blessed in a very powerful way, in that God has given to this little country and to many other countries in the world great gospel preachers. But apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul must have been one of this world's greatest preachers. From the moment of his conversion on the side of the Damascus Road until the moment of his death in a Roman prison cell, fearlessly, powerfully proclaimed the gospel that he once tried to destroy. The Corinthian church was a church that was fraught with problems. And yet the Apostle Paul simply said to them, "I want to know nothing among you, save Christ and him crucified." And little wonder when we come to read his epistles and his letters, that they are full of great gospel texts, texts that challenge our heart in relation to our need of God's salvation. And he makes the good news of the gospel crystal clear, that good news of Christ Jesus coming into the world to save sinners. And because Christ came into the world to save sinners, went out to Calvary's cross and laid down his life, shed his blood, the ransom price of our sin, that leaves you and me and every other individual born throughout the history of this world without excuse. And if you find yourself in this meeting yet out of Christ, my friend, I trust that you will not die in that situation. But if you do, there will not be one valid reason you can give to God when you meet him on that day as to why you rejected God's offer of mercy. We are without excuse tonight. For this reason, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul says this is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The greatest truth of all the ages. First of all, I want you to notice in our text, there is a truth to be repeated here. He says, this is a faithful saying. You and I know what sayings are. A saying is something that is repeated and repeated and repeated again. We have sayings in our country. Some of them are true and some of them are not true. Some of them are partially true. Some are true under certain circumstances. Some are not true at all. But this is a true statement. This is a true saying. This is a faithful saying that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. For example, we have sayings in this country, some of which go, that birds of a feather flock together. That's a saying, and it's said again and again and again. And it simply means that people of the same interest, they will generally find each other. We have a saying that a stitch in time saves nine. In other words, if a problem arises, we've got to deal with it quickly. If we don't, then it will become greater and greater and more difficult to deal with. And we have a multitude of sayings, something that is repeated again and again and again. And this here is a faithful saying, a true saying that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. No matter who that person is, no matter what their circumstances are, this saying is true, is always true. It was true back then, it is true tonight, it'll be true tomorrow, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It will never ever be untrue. You see, children can say that, and it's true. Because Jesus said, "Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not." Teenagers can say it, and it's true. Adults can say it, and it's true, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It's a true, and it's a worthy statement, and it's worthy of our acceptation. In fact, there is enough truth in that verse of Scripture to transform any and everybody's life. Back in the 1500s, there was a great theologian by the name of Erasmus, the most intellectual genius in the church of that day, a mighty theologian at the time of the Reformation. Martin Luther, he met him on many occasions, and Erasmus declared that Luther was right in his theology, and that the just shall live by faith. Sadly, Erasmus never took the stand that Martin Luther took, and he never ever left the Church of Rome. But he came to Oxford, the great seat of learning. And he was going to give a lecture there, and it was talked about through the whole community. Hundreds packed in on that occasion to hear Erasmus speak. Just before his coming to Oxford on that occasion, he had just finished his translation of the New Testament scriptures. And one of the professors of the college, a man by the name of Bilney, and because of his stature, he was always referred to as Little Bilney. And he went to hear the great Erasmus speak. And after the lecture was over, Bilney plucked up courage and asked Erasmus for a copy of the New Testament scriptures that he had just translated. And Erasmus gave to Bilney a copy of the New Testament. He took it home, and he opened it up at random, and it fell open at this particular text of Scripture. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And as he read it, and reread it, and thought it over in his heart, God spoke to him. His heart was opened as Lydia's heart was opened that Sabbath day. And Bilney was wonderfully converted. And he said, it was as if someone had turned on a light in the darkness. The truth of that verse dawned upon my heart, that Christ Jesus personally came into the world to save me. There he was wonderfully converted. Sometime after that, Hugh Latimer, another very powerful priest, was next to speak at the Citadel of Learning. And again, the place was packed to capacity, and Bilney was there. And as Latimer spoke, Bilney said in his heart, if only that man could discover the truth that I have discovered, he could shake England and he could enlighten the world. And when Hugh Latimer had finished his lecture and was coming down the aisle, and Bilney was in against the wall, he pushed himself out to the end of the aisle, and he took the hand of Hugh Latimer to shake it, and then he pushed into his hand a copy of the New Testament scriptures. And Hugh Latimer, when he got home after some time, he opened, not even knowing it was a New Testament. And he just opened it, and there it fell open at this text of Scripture. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And there, like Billany, God used that text of Scripture and riveted it upon his heart, and the great Hugh Latimer was wonderfully converted to Christ. Now his message had changed. He had started preaching the gospel and started presenting Christ as the only hope of heaven and the only way of sinners to salvation. And the great Latimer was asked to speak before the king. And when he went before royalty, he opened the Scriptures at this text of Scripture and began to speak to the monarch of the day that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But then there was a change in government. And Queen Mary, known better as Bloody Mary, came to the throne. And she rounded up every converted priest and every preacher of the gospel, and she saw them burned at the stake. And when the fire started, that word burn, Latimer to death, he cried out from the midst of the flames, "When you burn my body, you will light a light in England that will never go out." They burned him to death. But the gospel that he discovered through this verse of Scripture swept across England until the great revivals came through George Whitefield and the Wesley brothers. And it was true, and it's true tonight, that the light that was lit with the burning of Hugh Latimer still burns tonight. You see, you can destroy the preacher, but you cannot destroy the message, and that message will live on. A faithful saying that needs to be said and said and said and said and said again. It was a true saying then. It changed the life and saved the soul of Billany. It changed the life and saved the soul of Hugh Latimer. And my friend, if you believe it and receive it, it will change your life. It'll change your home. It'll transform your life for time and for all eternity. It is a truth to be repeated that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But there's not only a truth to be repeated here, but there's a transaction to be remembered, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He didn't come into this world merely to set a good example, and he was a good example. He could stand before all the hostile leaders of his day and say, "Which of you can convince me of sin?" And there wasn't one of them could open their mouth in honest condemnation of him. And every charge that was brought against Christ was a false charge, insomuch that Pilate said he knew that for envy they delivered him. And he had to report back to them and say, "I find no fault in him." But he didn't merely come to set a good example. He came into the world to save sinners. And the Apostle Paul speaks with great confidence here, because he had experienced this mighty and powerful and wonderful transaction. Nicodemus, the man who came to Jesus by night, he also experienced it. And Zacchaeus, the little man up the tree down in Jericho, he experienced it. And my friend, you can experience it tonight, because Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and you're a sinner. And so am I. This was emphasized at Christ's birth, Because the Bible tells us that they were instructed that thou shalt call his name Jesus, or which means Savior, for he shall save his people from their sin. That was the purpose of his coming into the world. There that day, God, a very God, in the person of his Son Jesus Christ, came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. You see, as the hymn writer says, there was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. Heaven was barred to us and hell was open to embrace us. But Christ Jesus came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost and to give his life a ransom for many. Can't you see the value of your life? Can't you see the importance of your soul, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save you? That was emphasized at his birth. But also, it was emphasized at his death. Christ Jesus came into the world to save. He didn't just come to help us. You and I were totally depraved and totally sinful, without God and without hope. You know, in prison there's a multitude of rehabilitation programs, and they're all doomed to fail. Because men's lives inwardly need to be changed. And here Christ came to do that very thing, able to save to the uttermost. And we often, as we've said in the past, put a little bit of sanctified imagination to the text and say, he's able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost, and he is. But when the Bible says he's able to save to the uttermost, it means he's able to save forever. In other words, trusting Christ as our Savior, we are saved and saved forever. And when we think of the price that he paid for our redemption, as Isaiah says, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. And again, no human language is sufficient to express the price that Jesus paid on Calvary's cross for our salvation. Dying the just for the unjust, the innocent for the guilty, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. None of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, or how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he found the sheep that was lost. Would you believe me tonight if I told you that Jesus Christ literally passed to hell for people like you and me? Man or woman or young person out of Christ, don't throw your life away. Don't waste the best years of your life in sin. Don't sell your soul cheaply to the devil and to the caverns of hell. Oh, how Christ was wounded for our salvation. A street orator speaking at Speaker's Corner in London at one occasion, he cried out from his soapbox, "Socialism can put a new coat on a man." And a believer, he shouted back at the top of his voice, "And Christ can put a new man in the coat." And that's what Christ Jesus came into the world to do, to save sinners. And this is the good news. For he said, "I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that there's not a righteous man upon the earth. And of course, in Romans chapter 3, there the apostle gives the whole pedigree of man without God and without hope. But what hope there is, because Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Then going on, there's a tragedy to be regretted in the text. Because the apostle says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. When Paul looked at his pre-converted days, he identified himself as the greatest of all sinners. Yet after his conversion, he identified himself as the least of all the apostles. He was a man with a true evaluation of his life. And sometimes we fail to see ourselves as God sees us. Helpless and hopeless. Without God and without hope in this world. But Christ came to save us. Of whom the apostle says, I am chief. And we know what a chief is. You see, a chief's a leader. And what the apostle Paul is saying is this: I was a leader and I led people into sin. I not only sinned myself, but I led others into sin. And of course he did. He's presented in the Acts of the Apostles as a young man. And the Bible says he made havoc of the church. He entered into believers' homes. He brought up false accusations against them. He saw them cast into prison and others fleeing abroad for fear of this tyrant. In verse 13 of our reading tonight, he says that he was a blasphemer, he was a persecutor, he was injured. You wouldn't want to meet that man alone on a winter's night. And when he says, I was injurious, he was literally saying, I was a dangerous individual. That is true because he was the godfather behind the murder of Stephen. Because the Bible says when that awful crime was carried out, they laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. He sinned and he led others into sin. You know, though all have sinned and come short of the glory, there's a difference in sinners. There are sinners of no influence. They sin themselves and they sin their soul into a lost eternity, but they have no influence upon anybody else. But then they're sinners of influence. They are not content to go down the road to a lost eternity alone. They've got to take others with them. And so they not only sin, but they influence and they encourage others into sin with them. That is borne out in Mark Gospel chapter 6 in the story of Herod and Herodias. And Herod had heard John the Baptist preaching. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 6 that after hearing John the Baptist preaching, that Herod did many things because of John and heard him gladly. So there's all the evidence there that he actually reformed his life under the preaching of John the Baptist. But reformation is not salvation. Friend, you could reform your life and be lost. But Herodias was a very different cup of tea. And she influenced Herod into sin, which ultimately resulted in the death and the beheading of John the Baptist. And the day that Herod ordered, under the influence of Herodias and her daughter, the death of John the Baptist, the moment he cut the head of John the Baptist, heaven went silent to his soul. Because we read that when Pilate heard that Jesus was of the jurisdiction of Herod, he gladly sent him to Herod. And Herod was glad to meet Christ. He wanted to see some miracle. He'd heard much about him. And Jesus never spoke to Herod. And why was that? Jesus never spoke to Herod for this reason. That anything Jesus had to say to Herod, he said it through John the Baptist. And the day that Herod sealed John's death, he sealed and sold his soul to hell. There's always that tragedy of staying one day too long in sin. Of going one step too far. Until heaven becomes silent to your soul. Paul said he was a big sinner. He was a chief of sinners. He was a blasphemer. He was a persecutor. He was injurious. He was the godfather at the murder of Stephen. But Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I'm the chief of sinners. But Christ saved me. Therefore, friend, if Christ could save a man like that, Christ can save you tonight. For the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And the hymn writer puts it into these words and says, the vilest offender who truly believes this moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. And I don't think that if you looked at your life, you would have to sum up and say with the Apostle Paul, I'm a big sinner, the chief of sinners, a blasphemer, persecutor, injurious, a godfather in the murder of anyone. But it shows you that God's grace is greater than our sin. And where sin abounds, his grace much more abounds. A truth to be repeated, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. A tragedy, no doubt, I'm sure that Paul would look back even from his converted days. Maybe regret some of the things that happened, but then God's grace triumphed in his life. And there's a triumph to be rejoiced in here. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. At the height of his godless career, with murder in his heart, traveling down the road to Damascus with letters of authority in his pocket, God intervenes in his life. He is mightily and powerfully and wonderfully and eternally transformed. For the gospel that he sought to destroy is now triumphed in his heart. Saul has become a new creature. He's now the Apostle Paul. And friend, there is no knowing what God will do through your life if you give that life to him. You think of this. That man, he was a persecutor, a blasphemer, injurious, dangerous, the godfather of the murder of Stephen, the chief of sinners. After his conversion, under the inspiration of God, he goes on to write much of the New Testament scriptures. There's no knowing what God will do with your life if you put it on his altar. Now, his conversion, you know, was a sudden conversion. And I'm always encouraged in that word, sudden. You see, in Acts chapter 9 and verse 3, it says of Paul, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly..." This man had murdered his heart. He had no intention of being saved. He had got authority and letters from the chief priests that if he found any of that way, Christians weren't called Christians in those days. They were called people of the way. And if he found any of that way, he'd bring them bound unto Damascus and Jerusalem. Suddenly, there shined round about him a light from heaven. Are you in this meeting out of Christ? Friend, you can go out of this meeting saved by grace and sure of eternity with Christ in heaven. And let every Christian mother and father remember this. That maybe family members that you have prayed for and earnestly brought to the throne of grace, they can suddenly, they may show no concern tonight, but they can suddenly be converted. And it was a sure conversion here. It was not just the moment of excited emotions. Because in Acts 26 he says, "Having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both the small and great." And you see, what God does, he does for eternity. The Bible says in John 10, "I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Mel Trotter was giving his testimony in the Specific Gardens Mission in Chicago. Now, Mel Trotter had been saved from an awful life of sin and shame and depravity. A man that was chained and fettered and mastered and controlled by sin and sinful habits. When he would finish his day's work, he wouldn't come home to his wife and children. He would go into the public house and he'd spend much of his earnings, with the result that his family lived in poverty. His children had to go without clothes that they dearly needed. And one day, the doctor was summoned. One of his children had fallen ill. And the doctor said, "There really is no hope here." But he did prescribe medicine and told them to give the child the medication. Mel Trotter's wife had secretly hidden a few pounds away. And she went and she got the few pounds and she gave them to her husband. And she said, "Go down to the chemist quickly and get the medication." He didn't go to the chemist. He went to the public house. And he spent the money. And he got himself drunk. And when he sobered up, the child was dead. And it broke his heart. And friends and neighbors were kind and they were good and they rallied around. Had one of the neighbors bought a little pair of red shoes and slipped them onto the child's feet in the coffin. Mel Trotter looked into that coffin at the lifeless body of his child, and the lifeless corpse was saturated in his father's tears. Then he spotted the little red shoes. And he yielded to temptation. He slipped the shoes of the child and put them in his pocket and went out the house and sold the shoes, and again he got himself drunk. And when he sobered up, the funeral was over. And he'd missed it. It broke his heart, but he could do nothing about it. He was fettered and mastered, controlled and chained by this thing. And then one day, Walking down the road, he heard singing. And he was strangely attracted to this little gospel service that was being held. And he went in and he sat down and he was under the influence of alcohol. But he enjoyed the singing and God spoke to his heart and God saved him that night. And his life was transformed. And from that moment to the day of his death, he had opened something like 50 rescue shops for people who were chained with alcohol and different addictions like he was. And one night he was standing up to give his testimony in the Pacific Gardens Mission in Chicago. And a man shouted out from the crowd, a man who had known him in his past life. He said, "Trotter, how do you know you're saved?" And Trotter just drew his breath and looked out over his glasses and simply said, "Why, bless your heart, old fellow. I was right there when it happened. And believe you me, I ought to know." Friend, tonight, that same mighty transaction of grace can take place in your heart and life for this reason only, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And you're a sinner. It applies to you. I'm a sinner. It applied to me. And if you believe this truth and receive this Christ, you'll walk out of this place a new creation in Christ Jesus, because Christ came into the world to save sinners. And may you look to him tonight as a dying thief looked, and rejoice in his salvation.